Welcome to Not a Real Artist, a podcast by me, Iris Fritchie-Cousins.
And me, Tamara Sagadevan, discussing relatable creative topics with honesty and humour.
This episode is all about consistency, because we keep showing up in the podcast platform, being very consistent.
I did not view this as consistency, but you're right. So here's a tick for consistency. Achieved.
So interesting. We obviously don't feel like we're very consistent, and yet we are consistent.
We were talking about consistency, and now I forgot what you said. It was absolutely hilarious.
About inconsistently consistent or consistently inconsistent.
No.
Go and look it up. Go away. Look it up.
I feel like you said something like I've consistently kept yourself alive or something to that effect.
Oh, yes, I remember now. Oh, yeah, life. I've been doing it consistently for 38 years now.
Yeah, that's what you said. And that's what I found funny. Yeah.
I thought that was pretty good because I'm always up in my own grill, flagellating myself for not being consistent. And then I was like, oh, my God, getting up every morning, being alive, 38 years, 38 and a half years even. Oh, my God, achievement.
So my word for 2023, word of the year was consistency. And it's even in the front of this little egg journal that I showed the other day, where it says, that's the thing about me. My memory is consistent. I don't remember a lot. We are what we repeatedly do. And I am consistently consistent, I think, is what I wrote there. And then you can see how the year wins, because then I painted a huge turd over it. I've got two views on consistency, and I'm not sure where I land yet. So I'm probably in the middle, as always. But there is a point in time, like, I crave consistency. I need to be consistent in order to thrive as a human being. I do. But what I do is I take that consistency and I use it as a rod for my own back. Like you were just whooping yourself, I love a good whooping, and consistency is one of the whoops that I use. And I've really just been thinking, what am I using the term consistency for? Is it a tool or is it a rod? And it's just about realizing in that moment what I'm doing with it. I mean, you can use a tool as a rod too, but a rod is a tool, whatever. But yeah.
But is it also, because when you're talking about consistency, and you need consistency and you use it, I'm also thinking actually about routine. And I think routine and consistency are not the same thing. You can have a routine and that can be the container for you to show up or be consistent, but they are two separate things.
I think there's a little bit of a, are you neurotypical? Neurotypical? Are you neurotypical?
I've been told that I must be a flavor of neurospicy.
Okay.
I don't need to or fit into any specific category, but I identify with certain checklists in certain ways. But then I imagine lots of people do. So yeah, let's call me neurospicy.
Sometimes I think we're all neurospicy, and some of us are just spicy as in I put salt and pepper in this meal, but some of us are really just pulling out our spice dabba and like using a whole lot of masalas and the like. I really like labels. That's the one thing I wanted to say. I know that some labels can be detrimental, but we've discussed this before. I feel like labels can be very freeing. For me, they are, especially when I remember that something is a label that I can subscribe to and therefore take the things or the tools or the concessions that is available to that label. So I don't want to say disability, but invisible disability. You would not expect somebody that happens to use a wheelchair to walk up the stairs. And that's the kind of way that I use labels. And don't get distracted about labels. So I feel like routine, and I agree with you, but I think that's a neurotypical thing, because routine, motivation, all of these things, like for me, it can only be developed with consistent action. And sometimes even when it becomes a habit, just because I'm doing something for 5 years, it doesn't necessarily mean that I can do it the next year. I have this constant thing, and I think we've spoke about it before, where I have to keep reminding myself, if you tell somebody, go brush your teeth, they brush their teeth and it's done. For me, it's very much, I need to brush my teeth. I need to brush my teeth. I need to open this. I need to take this out. I have to put the cap here. Then I have to wipe it. Then I have to store it away. Oh God. That I remember to do, like, I do remember, I know how I do it, but because I haven't spoken about it while I was doing it, it's just like a task that gets exploded. And I think that's my struggle with like routine. For me, I view it, and it's probably the incorrect definition of the word, but I view consistency as belonging to all of those things. It's linked to motivation, mm-hmm. productivity, yeah. all of these wonderful things and shit things.
So as you've been talking, I've had a realization about myself and about how I use routine. I ride on the back of the fact that there are things in my life that require a routine or that are a routine, and then I fit myself into it, and then lots of consistent action happens because of this thing. So for example, taking my youngest to school, I have to get up in the morning, I have to get ready, and then I have to take him to school. That's something outside of myself, but still something that I need to do. And then doing the things like getting up out of bed at a certain time, brushing my teeth, getting dressed, they are all part of moving towards that thing that needs to be done, which is getting out the door on time to get him to school. And so I don't really need to think about like brushing my teeth, because it is just literally the next thing that needs to happen after I get out of bed. And I do tend to do all of these things in the same order, because that to me is how it works, you know? And I also like, I want to make a distinction between routine, like kind of some kind of idealized routine. Like I have no idea what I would do. Actually, I do have an idea what I would do, because it's what happens when the kids are off and it's the holiday time. I sleep in a lot longer. I find it much harder to get up because I need to self-motivate. I need to get out of the bed, not because I have a thing to do at a certain time, but because I have to somehow get myself up. So I will probably never be the type of person who gets up at a reasonable hour in the morning to then go and do half an hour of yoga and sip my cup of tea and write my morning pages, because I would have to self-motivate and create my own routine. And I am like very incapable of doing that. If this podcast was not you and me, it would be so much harder for me to do it, to show up, to keep doing it.
I 150% agree with you. I think it's a very smart way to build your life when you have external circumstances to push everything.
And when you're not good at doing it yourself.
Yeah. I mean, if like there's probably somebody listening that's like, oh my God, you struggle to brush your teeth. Calm down. Whose name are we using today? Calm down, Yvonne. I am brushing my teeth. But I don't have the trigger and the external trigger to do it. And you've made a very good point there. Obviously, the thinking would be then create those triggers. And I think the more solo or the more of a hermit I become, the less I have those opportunities to do those things. Like if I wasn't walking Felix, I probably would also be waking up very late. But I think that's the way we need to build it. And we need to understand that label that if you don't want to label yourself, that's fine. But we don't perform at the same level. So I need those accommodations. I need to take my dog out in the morning in order to wake up. I've been thinking about consistency and like what would make it easy for me to be consistent. And I was thinking about the importance of the things that I need to do. I wrote it down somewhere. Importance, rewards, consequences. I don't even know. Okay, so these are the things that motivate people to be consistent, I feel. Importance, rewards, and consequences. And to be quite honest, like we all like rewards and we are all afraid of consequences, but none of those things really matter to me. That's what I've been realizing. And you say working with me helps you to do this podcast. And I think that's true for me too. And a good example is I will find it very difficult to edit an episode until there's a deadline. So it's understanding about what are those things that motivate me to exhibit consistency. The reason I messaged you was because at that point in time, I was having a very like a bit of a tough day. And you sent a newsletter about consistency. I don't know if you remember what you said, or were you just talking nonsense? No, I'm kidding, man.
I don't often remember what I said specifically.
Well, I clipped it.
Oh, excellent. Like, I remember the gist of what I was saying. But yeah, you tell me in your words what you think I said. Oh, are you going to use my words? Oh, okay, fine.
I'm going to use your words. So the crux of it is embracing inconsistency. And you were talking about how you struggle to be consistent. And as you get older and hopefully wiser, you're learning that the holy grail of consistency is not in keeping with who you are and how you work. And that if this is your benchmark for measuring success, and whether you're allowed to feel good about yourself, you will just keep on feeling like a failure. And I really liked that realization that you had. And that's why I said, like, talk more about it. Because I realize and I forget. I was talking about tool and rod. That's where I am. But I would really like to understand how you got to this point of realization.
Wow. I mean, I'd forgotten it since I wrote it, because I've definitely been living the self-flagellating life since writing that. So, but no, it's really about this realization and a realization about myself that I hold myself to a very high standard. And one of the standards that I have for myself is consistency, because I think that consistency is good, almost like consistency is morally good. Like, if I show up every day and work on a thing that I want to be working on, then I'm good. And if I fall off the wagon and I am not doing it consistently, then I am bad. And I realized that by holding myself to that standard, I have put the focus on the wrong thing. I've put the focus on consistency. And in doing that, I am forgetting to look at what it is that I'm achieving, my own output, whether what I'm working on is important to me, and whether I'm, you know, doing the thing that I want to be doing. And if I look at those things and take consistency completely out of the equation, I'm like, oh, hang on. I, you know, did this project and this project, I managed to complete those things or work on those things. I've made some art that I'm happy with. I feel like I'm moving forward in my journey towards self-discovery, self-expression. And yet I still feel as if I'm not doing it right, or as if I failed, simply because I haven't been doing it robotically scheduled and that kind of thing. And I thought that was a really interesting thing to become aware of, because sometimes you're just focusing on the wrong thing, feeling like a failure. And then if you just look at the things that are around it, you realize, oh, actually, I am doing that thing. It's just not what I thought was the most important thing. Does that make sense?
It does. I'm just having so many thoughts and I'm...
It's kind of like saying, I know we've talked about step total before. I must walk this amount of steps every day. And so on the days that you didn't get that step total, you're going to self-flagellate, but you're missing the point that you were active in some other way, or like you did lots of swimming. Let's say you spent the whole day swimming and your step total thing didn't go up one bit because you were swimming all day. And then you're going to be like, well, I didn't get my step total. And it's like, you're completely missing the point of what it is that you're setting out to do and what you're doing it for.
I was thinking about your analogy with your kids, where you said, your midwife or the nurse said, it's not about what you feed them every day, it's what you feed them over a week. That's what I was thinking about when you were speaking. And I think that's something I think about quite often. And I hear you. I think I've also said this to you before. When I get an opportunity and the preceding week has not been a consistent one, where I've been painting every day, doing the work, whatever the hell that looks like, I feel shit about the opportunity that's been presented me, because in some way I feel I didn't work hard enough to deserve it.
It's like imposter syndrome, because if you deserved it, then you would be acting like XYZ.
Yeah.
And if you haven't acted like XYZ, then you don't deserve it.
I'm also just really wondering while you're speaking, and I am hearing you, but I'm trying to think, where does it come from? Like, I'm trying to think about being a farmer. How much does consistency matter when you're a farmer? I don't know the answer. I'm not a farmer, but I'm thinking about those most basic and original jobs and how it's become, because I feel this is an external pressure, the pressure of being consistent, and that we internalize. And I'm just trying to understand where it came from. Or is it really just in this industrial age where, you know, you get an email every day, you open it, you... Are we in the industrial age still? That doesn't matter. Pay attention. I'm wondering where it comes from, because I have this... The reason I want to be consistent is I have periods of consistency and intensity. And I still haven't made peace with that. And the periods of intensity burn me out. I do it at the detriment of my health or whatever. I hyper-focus. But again, that's my label, and I need to understand that's how my brain works. But I just sometimes want less periods of intensity and more of consistency so that like I don't burn myself out that often. But maybe there's freedom in accepting that this is just the way I work and this is the cycle.
Mm. I think what you were saying about the farmer example, I think this is a really interesting example because it makes me think about the direction. It's sometimes you can be really consistent and then you can look at yourself and your life and you can go, oh gosh, I'm really consistent. Or you can be not like that and you can look at your life and you can say like, I should be consistent. And they are two different things because the person who is really consistent is maybe making themselves be consistent, but maybe they just are consistent, you know? And maybe like, you know, when in the olden days, when like on Monday you did this and on Tuesday you did that, I'm thinking about housewives, like washing on Monday, baking on Tuesday. I don't know what the list is, but like it's a way of getting all of the jobs done that need to be done in the week. And it isn't about being consistent. It's about getting all the shit done that needed to get done so that, you know, life can go on for the family and the people in the family. And I feel like, as always, in our kind of post-industrial age with, you know, disposable time, disposable income, we have a lot more time to think about these things and to have existential crises about it. And yet at the same time, we also still want to be consistent and not worry about it, you know? So it's like, I think if you're trying to hold both, it's actually harder than just being in the treadmill or being kind of someone who doesn't achieve anything in life. You know, if you're trying to be in the middle, then you have to accept that you are choosing to be in an uncomfortable gray area. If your life is just 100% consistent, you are taking away the gray area. You might be taking away some of the pain and some of the struggle, but you're also losing out.
And then the same can be said for being consistently inconsistent. I think that maybe there's, I don't know, I guess it depends on your brain, but if we can say that they're missing out, I would like to say that the same can be applied then to those of us that are consistently inconsistent, not because our brains are the way they are, but because we just have not had the time or the energy or the will or the awareness to want to be consistent in some things.
I don't agree, because that assumes that we are consistent to start with, that like we as humans have some kind of consistent compartmentalized essence, which I don't think we do. I think that we are feeling people. I mean, like, as in like we have emotions and emotions are not consistent. And so expecting yourself to be the same in every situation, irrespective of how you're feeling or irrespective of like the macro, I don't think that is, you know, we're not machines.
So I hear you, and I do agree with you. Is it possible to agree and disagree?
Yeah, sure.
Because I think for me, it's not necessarily showing up in the same way all the time, but it is the showing up.
But that is consistently inconsistent, I think. Or inconsistently consistent, I think.
So it's being consistent in an inconsistent fashion.
Yeah, it's basically saying, well, I'm this blob of human emotions and things are different on different days because of my internal life, because of my external life, because of things that happen to me, because of, you know, the things that happen in the world. And yet I'm still choosing to show up in whatever way that I show up, but it's the showing up that counts and not the being the same irrespective of what's going on.
I'm still thinking about this base level of consistency.
Well, that's the base level of consistency is staying alive. It's like 38 years now. You did it. 35 years for tomorrow or whatever.
What's popping into my head is survive versus thrive.
Mm-hmm.
And like you're saying that the base level is just to stay alive. And I'm trying to bring the saying into consistency, because it's been something that's playing in my head quite often. Survive, not thrive. Thrive, not survive. Just to go back to myself, because everything's about me. If I crave consistency or routine or habit or however you want to frame it, I crave the ability to burn out less. And we said before, it was just maybe accepting that you are consistent in a cycle.
Mm.
But is there a medium? Like, because like intensity is exhausting me.
Mm.
And at some point I don't want to be exhausted. So then I just don't want to do anything, if that makes sense. And I'm just trying to like come to grips with what the middle is. Besides acceptance. Fuck acceptance.
I don't know. I mean, I come at it from a different, from the opposite way, actually, because I used to live a very consistent life. Consistency was my survival mechanism, and it worked very, very well for me. And having consistency as an ideal, as a holy grail, was in a way very comforting to me, even if I wasn't always able to achieve it. Like, I don't want you to think of little Iris in her past being amazingly consistent or anything. It wasn't like that, but it was more about like the mode of living and the belief system underpinning that. And I feel like that as I am embracing more of my emotions, being able to actually go through my emotions as well, I feel like I have had to confront inconsistency. I have had to embrace inconsistency, not that I want to, because it's true. It's like inconsistency is so essentially true for me, as opposed to blinding myself with a fantasy of, well, if I could just be consistent, then everything would be all right. It's sitting much more in the messy middle, as, you know, our friend Kaylee Gray, who is also South African, would say.
Thanks a lot. No, I don't think consistency, either, to use your words, is a holy grail. It's a tool. It's just another tool in the long list of tools that we can choose to use, or again, choose to punish ourselves with. And I'm just thinking about the showing up, because even that's difficult sometimes. Showing up, I would say consistency implies action. So showing up, doing an action, and then repeating it. Like, I'm being honest, I'm just struggling to like understand the emotional parts of it. But I think that, for example, performing a certain action needs you to be sometimes in the right emotional headspace. And then it's in that moment you saying, hey, I'm feeling X, Y, Z. I cannot perform this action.
Also, having consistency as a holy grail, to me, also means that when I felt unable to do things, I felt like, oh, this is it. I will now forevermore be unable to do things, because, like, you know, why is it going to come back? If I've fallen off the wagon, it's like it's lost forever. And I think that I have learned much more softness towards myself, that when I'm having a bad day and I'm like, oh my God, I can't do this. This is too hard. I feel too crap about myself, that I can actually take a second to say, hey, I'm actually not feeling great today, not in a good mental space today. Maybe today is just a wash. Maybe it's not a good day, and maybe tomorrow will be better. It's not because I know tomorrow will be better. It's not because I need tomorrow to be better. It's because giving that softness to myself actually allows the feelings of the now to be there, rather than to need to put them away in order to achieve some kind of consistency, because otherwise I will never do anything anymore. You know, like, just because you didn't brush your teeth the one day doesn't mean that you're not going to brush your teeth the next day. I know all of the people who are listening to this are cringing at the thought of not brushing your teeth, but, you know.
I don't know. I've met a lot of people and I don't think they're brushing their teeth consistently. Sometimes not being consistent is not necessarily because of my emotional, I'm not that I'm the most emotionally stable person in the world. Please, you're on my WhatsApp. You know I'm crazy. But when I'm lacking consistency, for me, it's not always because of the emotion. It's sometimes because, thinking about this like eat the frog thing that's a task, but it's also consistency, right? Every day you do your hardest shit first. Like, I can't do that. I used to be able to do that. I can't do that anymore. I just end up like looking at this frog, wondering why French people eat frogs. And for me, it's become acknowledging that and then just doing something so much more simpler and like building up confidence and momentum. And there's a part of me that, oh God, don't use this. Okay, no, it's the truth. There's a part of me that despises that. I feel a bit weak, that I have to start with the smaller things to get the bigger thing done. But that's what's working for me now. And that's what I need to remember. So like, I'm really trying to take all this information that you're giving me, because I really respect, like, I feel that you're very emotionally,
you're going to say risen. Something that's going to make me laugh, probably.
No, I was going to say risen, because I swear to God, I just thought, oh, sourdough. You're emotionally competent. Let me put it that way. Like, I feel like you're very good at expressing what you're thinking. You're very good at emotions. You're the best. You win.
Mm.
And winning. Because of that, I'm trying to absorb what you're saying to just make sure that it's a part of my own lens and how I'm viewing my stuff. But there's also a strong part of me that's saying, like, emotions is not the thing for me when it comes to consistency. It is sometimes, but it isn't. For me, it's not accepting my current state of being. It's comparing myself to 23-year-old Tamara, or the past decade's Tamara. decade. And and not being able to let that go. I don't want to say it's not aging gracefully, but maybe in some ways it isn't. It's like not understanding the new limitations of my age. I'm not implying that all old people are slow. My energy, the place that I live, maybe there is emotional components to that. But again, I'm just trying to understand.
In a large part, I do think that some forms, like a lot of the forms of consistency, if consistency is not born out of a drive to want to achieve something, but is instead, as in like a drive that just simply propels you and you simply must, but it's a different type of drive, a drive of like, okay, I want to achieve this and I know that I need to do these things in order to achieve this, or because I need to do them because they're tasks that must be done because I'm like submitting my tax return or whatever, that I think this has a lot to do with being an adult. Like, if we are just being our child self, then we would just be at the mercy of our feelings and we probably wouldn't get very much done. So it is about regulating and saying like, okay, I'm having this struggle with, you know, feeling like shit today or whatever, and maybe I can do this and this thing. I don't think I can do all of the things that I might do if I was having a really good day, but maybe I could do a little bit of this and a little bit of this. And I do, like, I do feel like that's like about working. It's like imagining yourself as being this person, and on the one hand, you're holding the hand of your child self with your left hand, and you're holding the hand of your adult self with your right hand, and it's like they can both exist at the same time.
And who are you in that scenario in the middle? I'm not even being facetious. I'm
like I don't know, like the bridge, I guess. Like, they're not separate. It's almost as if the two hands on either side are like merged into the hands, you know. Somebody paint this. I think this would be nice.
Yeah,
I like it.
It would. I think it would be quite illuminating as well, how you see your current self, your child self, and your future self, or adult. I mean, we are adults, but in some ways the adult self is the future self. And the current.
Well, I think also my therapist often says that, like, what an adult is simply a responsible child. That it's not that we at one point were children and then we've become adults. It's we are still children. It's just that we are also choosing to be responsible. And that is what adultness is.
And like, I just thought, like, wouldn't it be so much more freeing? And it probably exists. But if in language we just had the one word for the entire whole, because we're always splitting it up by age and we don't mm-hmm. look at it as I guess some people would say that spirit. I don't know if that is the word.
Well, or just like a person. Like, I think of my kids as people. Like, they'll be my kids throughout. Like, however old they will be, they will still be my kids. But I don't necessarily think of them as like children and then at some point they're going to be adults. No, they're just people.
And I mean, speaking as somebody that was recently a kid, you remember when people treat you as a person versus
absolutely
child. Yeah. It makes such a big difference between your relationship with the person, your relationship with yourself, and also just equipping you to be independent or, I don't know, self-sufficient in this world. Just a good human, I think. Please take advice from me. I have many children.
But besides, whether you have children or no children, I don't think you're any more or less worthy of listening to.
Yeah, I get very sensitive.
I have two children. I am obviously the paragon.
You're qualified.
Yes, of intelligence and advice when it comes to children. I am being funny.
And you're expecting your third at the moment, right?
Oh god, that's really funny. Editor's note, I'm not.
I can imagine. Congratulations, like the last time when it was your birthday and people were wishing you like 5 months later.
Oh yeah,
or something.
That was really hilarious, yeah. To tie it up, can we talk about art? Like, how does this relate to art? I mean, it all relates to art.
Fucking hell. We keep on forgetting to talk about
art.
Well,
it's not... It's kind of because I feel like whenever we're talking, we are talking about art. Because what we're doing is so much about ourselves and our self-expression. Mm. And in a way, what I think is actually interesting about this is that when you are making art that is truly coming from inside yourself and is truly meaningful, as opposed to like art that you churn out and that is just like you're mass producing your own art or something, I don't know, it can only ever be inconsistent, because if it wasn't inconsistent, then it would always be the same and it wouldn't change and it wouldn't be interesting. The only thing that needs to be consistent then is that over a longer period of time is you keep showing up. And I think that that's something that I forget often, because I feel like, oh my god, I'm not making art every day. Am I even an artist? And then I look back at all of the art that I've made over the last 10 years, how much my style has grown, how much I've like been kind of excavating and digging towards something or building towards something, whatever. I can see like, oh gosh, that's consistency. If that's not consistency, then I don't know what is.
This is like another part where I feel like you're very like high-minded and you're looking at the crux of your art practice in terms of emotions. I feel like immediately when you said consistency with art, I always start, I think, from the lower forms, for lack of a better word. And the lower form to me is, if you want to learn something, you have to be consistent. Like if you want to learn how to draw an apple, you're going to have to consistently put in the practice. What that word consistent means, though, is different for different people. For some people, it's 5 hours a day. For some other person, it's 5 hours a month. But it has to be that dedicated practice of observation, doing, not criticizing, but analyzing what you've done, or criticizing whatever works for you, and repeating. So in that term, if you're low-minded like I am, then consistency is important. You just have to understand whose consistency or what that consistency looks like in terms of time, repetition, action, steps. I hear you about having consistency over time and looking at your artwork and being amazed. I can never see it when I'm in the midst of it. Now when I look back at some stuff, I'm like, oh, wow, I'm so cool. And it's surprising because I did not feel cool when I was doing the thing that I was doing. I think the only thing I would like for my art practice more is, I feel that in order for me to get out those emotions or whatever the crux is, I have to show up. And I think you've said this, but I also have to practice to make sure that I understand that channel is available to me. Because if I don't art journal or whatever, draw, paint for 1 week, you can believe me, by week two, I sometimes forget that that exists for me as a way to get stuff out. And again, for somebody else, it might not work that way. That's just me, right? That's my brain. You're welcome to have it. And I think for me, that's what consistency is in my art practice, reminding myself that this exists for me to use, for me to abuse, for me to revel in. And I don't know if then reminding is an action. It is, right?
Yeah, I think, well, that's kind of like when you were saying, like, oh, this is the thing that you wrote in your newsletter. And I'm like, oh, gosh, I'd actually already forgotten and I'm already no longer living it. It's kind of like sometimes when you're learning something new, you don't learn it once. You learn it again and again and again. And you take a little bit more away from it every time until it becomes hopefully second nature at some point. But maybe it won't.
Yeah. That sigh was just like such a deep, like, sore side. Like, I felt the pain because more and more I believed that at some point I would learn shit and I would never have to learn it again.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm at the point that I learn nothing. And I just have to keep on having reminders, even if it's something on my phone that's like, hello, did you do X today? Yes, that is a real reminder on my phone. It doesn't matter if I learn that not doing a certain thing doesn't make me feel good or makes me feel good. It doesn't matter.
I just need the reminder. I have this thing. I have to like do scary finance stuff. And I'm always like, oh, I'd love to do it like, you know, just regularly. Like every week I set aside a couple of hours and I do it and I keep on top of it. And that would be great. Do I do that? No. I put it off until I have to do all of it in one go. And then there's like real pressure and it's like, it's terrible. And I feel terrible. And I felt terrible all the time leading up to it because I've got it hanging over me. Do I ever learn? No. And every time I'm hopeful that the next time I will be doing it, like, you know, regularly, consistently, so I don't have to do it all in one go. And it just never happens. So, yeah. And it's not really that scary. It's just I find it scary.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sitting here shitting myself. I don't even know what it is. I'm just imagining like tax. That's like a scary word for me. It's not for me to analyze that. And you're very good at analyzing your own self. But like for me, it's one of the coping mechanisms that I have, which is it needs to get like super urgent, like feel like death, life and death. And then I can do it. And I hate getting to that point.
Mm-hmm.
Or like sometimes like just having that deadline. And I think I've said this before, like due dates and deadlines, they're just so motivating.
Yeah.
Whereas other people I know, they hate deadlines. They feel like it's a, how many times have I said rod? What else? Like a millstone around their neck.
Well, I hate deadlines too, but they do work for me. Like, I don't love them, but I'm like, oh, well, they are effective.
I love deadlines.
Oh, do you? Interesting.
If you don't give me a deadline...
you will not see you.
You will never see me again. And that's quite you. That's quite true. I'm apt to disappear. I've written a little list because, you know, this is a self-help podcast.
Oh, yeah. No, with advice. Not. Are you going to do advice?
I'm so going to do advice right now.
Oh, okay.
Okay. No, it's not advice, but I want to tell you about some of the stuff that I do to try and foster consistency. And it's just basically how I get shit done, which is hardly ever, as you know, Iris. So I try to make whatever I'm doing as interesting as possible. And that might mean taking something from the action that is absolutely small but interesting and just exploding that. So right now I need to do a project and I'm just, there's no deadline, dragging my feet, but the most interesting thing there is doing research. So like that's my in. So I do find the thing that captivates me or interests me. I'm just going to start reading off my list. I tell myself only 15 minutes and I use a lot of timers, a lot of alarms, a lot of it's called Pomodoro, right? You work for 25 minutes, you rest for 5. Cannot recommend enough. And then I compete against the clock, against Michal, against Iris. Not really, but like if we're both editing an episode, I need to get it done at a similar time as you do. I never do. But it's a competition that motivates me to actually do something. That's it. I body double, make micro commitments. I'm the best. Please listen to all of my advice. I have everything sorted out. Boom.
Well, it sounds really useful advice. It's just also about implementing it. I'm like full of good ideas that I don't do myself.
I don't think you can do any or all of those at the same time. Maybe you can, but it's just about finding the one that works. Sometimes I just have to put a lot of effort, not into actually doing the thing, but finding the thing that works and reminding myself.
Yeah. How does it what works for you. Oh my God, that's the theme of our podcast over four seasons now. It's find what works for you and then do those things. And yes, you can listen to Tamara's advice or advice from people on the internet, other people on the internet, and you can try those things and then you decide, yes, this works for me, or no, this works for me not at all. And it's really important to then kind of, I guess, trust that you know yourself best.
Yeah, I think, you know, this thing of no one special.
I hate that. Okay, I hate it. Thanks.
No, but I think it's about actually realizing that we don't fit into a box. It's absolutely impossible. You can have a lot of stuff that's the same, but we do not fit into those boxes. So you are as different as you think you are, as weird as you think you are, as amazing as you think you are. And then working that way. I think that Get the Frog Done is a very good example. There's millions. That's a million. What's his name? Alan David, the guy that wrote the book. Don't trust me. And I think it's a bestseller and everybody will tell you that. Eat the frog first. Eat the frog first.
Yeah. And sometimes you just need to not do that.
But also, just because it works for that guy and his brain and his circumstances growing up in North Carolina, I don't think he did. Doesn't mean it's going to work for you, especially if you're from South Africa. Do not eat the frog. That's where I'm from.
It might be poisonous.
No, there's other things to eat, Iris. Just because we're from Africa doesn't mean we just eat frogs.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I think you need to consistently wrap this up in a bow.
Okay. Well, I think we already did in a way. Like, no, actually, we are going to we're going to wrap this up in a bow in the key takeaways. Takeaway number one. Consistency can be used as a useful tool or a rod for your back. Number two. Some of us can use routine as a container or reminder to be consistent. Number three. A label can be used to give you permission to use the concessions and tools that you feel are only available to a specific label. Number four. Using consistency as a benchmark when it isn't in line with who you are and how you work sets you up for failure. Number five. Instead, try putting the focus on what you create and whether what you're doing is important or meaningful to you. Number six. The only thing that needs to be consistent is showing up, and the way you show up can be inconsistent, consistently inconsistent. Number seven. Consistency can be used by some as a survival mechanism and way to avoid pain, where we actively put our feelings into a box in order to reach consistency, or we use consistency as a way of keeping feelings at bay. Number eight. While for others, consistency is a part of their cycle, the way they get work done or the tool their brain needs to use to burn out less or just get stuff done. Number nine. Making art that truly comes from inside you has inconsistency attached to it, as it changes every time. Number 10. Not making art every day does not mean you are not an artist. Number 11. However, it does take consistent practice to learn art skills. What matters is that you define consistent for yourself. Number 12. To foster consistency and use it as a tool, you could create deadlines, or do what you enjoy first to gain momentum, and use timers as you work. And finally, number 13. Most importantly, you may not be able to use all or any of these takeaways effectively or frequently. It is about finding what works for you, whether you are consistently inconsistent or not. Thank you so much to everyone who reached out to inquire about when season 4 was coming. We really appreciate your enthusiasm. If you enjoyed this episode or the podcast in general, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate it and it is so, so helpful to us. You can also email us on notarealartistpodcast@gmail.com. See you in the next episode.
Oh, I think I have a burp on board. I'm so sorry.
La. I would love to know when I was hilarious, because I love evidence of me being hilarious, because I can never remember.
Oh, no, I wasn't talking to you. No, I'm kidding.
It was someone else.
Awesome. Stop.
Amazing.
First you stop. If I find my fucking mouse.